This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. 2014 is a very interesting year. Der Spiegel Online wrote that this year will be a historic one, marking three important anniversaries: the 100th anniversary of the eruption of World War I, the 75th anniversary of the start of World War II, and the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, which of course was in consequence to World War II. Now, what about war? People are very much divided. Christians are very much divided insofar as war is concerned. Now, Pope Pius XII declared at the beginning of World War II, everything is gained by peace, nothing is gained by war. Dwight D. Eisenhower expressed the following sentiment: there is only one solution for our generation. It is a return to a life based on Christ's Sermon on the Mount. But not everybody would agree. I have a quote here from a Catholic catechism which was published in Switzerland in 1975, saying, "The injunctions in the Sermon on the Mount are not to be taken literally, as this would lead to unacceptable circumstances, both in private and public life." So, whom are we to believe? Are we to believe that what Christ was saying when it came to the Sermon on the Mount, that is just intellectual vanity without any practical consequence? Or is that something which we should obey? And of course, we all understand that there is no way you can look at the Sermon on the Mount and say it's all right to go to war. Did you know that in the early New Testament church, no Christian soldier was in existence? I have here an article by Christianity Today, dated October 28, 2003, saying this: "The ancient church understood that war has been around as long as human beings, and war and sin have coexisted. It is a consistent tenet throughout the Christian tradition that war is a result of sin. Pacifism is characteristic of the early centuries of Christianity, like the North African apologist Tertullian said," he lived from 160 to 222 AD, "who regularly warned Christians to distance themselves from pagan culture. He wrote, 'How will he serve in the army, even during peacetime, without the sword that Jesus Christ has taken away?' But then in time, a complicated set of rules was designed by men trying to explain when a war is justified and when Christians can fight in war. And so Thomas Aquinas was instrumental, amongst others. He lived from 1224 to 1274 to design these rules for a just war. And later the Protestants accepted it too. And we understand that, for instance, Swiss reformer Zwingli died in battle when he fought in war. Professor Rossi wrote in Conscience and Liberty the following interesting words: "The Christians of the first century were decisively against any form of war. In the middle of the second century, the Christian philosopher Justin Martyr, declared to his pagan readers, 'And we who once delighted in war, in murdering each other, and in all kinds of sins, we have all over the world changed our weapons into instruments of peace.'" Edward Gibbon wrote in The Triumph of Christendom in the Roman Empire about the early church, and I quote, "They refused to take any active part in the civil administration or the military defense of the empire." Now here's another quote from Tertullian, the one who I quoted earlier. He said, "I think we must first inquire whether warfare is proper at all for Christians. Should it be held lawful to make an occupation of the sword when the Lord proclaims that he who uses a sword shall perish by the sword?" And of course, his conclusion was no, it is not lawful. I found another interesting article in Liberty, dated September-October 1985, saying this: "Until the end of the second century, the church appeared to be pacifist. No records exist of any Christian soldier prior to AD 170. After 170, however, references to Christian soldiers appear. worldly paganism saturated religion, and the church succumbed to its militaristic influence. Christians, alienated from the Roman government by persecution, soon became the Roman government. In AD 314, the Council of Arles declared that Christians could officially join the army, and by AD 416, only Christians could join. Emperor Constantine's conversion, quote-unquote, to Christianity helped turn Christian plowshares into swords. Let me also talk a little bit about the history of some Christian groups. For instance, you might have heard about the Paulicians. Now, the Paulicians, they are first mentioned in historical records in about 555 AD, and they have been traditionally looked upon as part of the spiritual body of Christ. They originally preached strongly against any participation in war. But then, around 800 AD, when the Catholic Church began to persecute them, some of them began to defend themselves with weapons. I'm reading, by the way, from our free booklet, Should You Fight in War? And I strongly encourage you to ask for a free copy if you really want to know what the Bible says about war. But continuing with my quotes, it says their great leader Sergius, who taught them from 801 to 835, condemned fighting and retaliation. But after his death, even those who had listened to him began to fight. Now, the Paulicians became known as a warrior people. That's how they have become known in history, a warrior people. Originally, they were pacifists, but then they decided to fight in war. Another one, which we would like to mention here, are the Waldenses. Now, also, we find that they were originally part of the spiritual body of Christ. Their founder, Peter Waldo, started to teach them in 1161, and not just them, but he preached the gospel to an extent. He taught, among other things, that taking a life was wrong. But after his death and that of early subsequent leaders, many of the Waldenses took up arms in 1380, when the inquisitors invaded the areas. And in 1619, their leader, Simon Pecci, went to war in Austria. So their stance of pacifism changed, and they became warriors like the Paulicians had become. In April 23, 1865, the Church of God published a magazine called Hope of Israel, and in that particular edition, it stated, "We thank God that President Lincoln did cause to be made such laws as would deliver God's saints from participating in war." In April 1917, Andrew Duggar, president of the Church of God Seventh Day, met with President Wilson and received exemption for church members from combatant service. And during the Korean and Vietnam Wars, Herbert W. Armstrong of the Worldwide Church of God petitioned the government to recognize church members as having conscientious objector status. But I have found an article which dates back to September of 1939, where Herbert Armstrong already made the following statements. "God commands us not to fight or kill, whether for Caesar or anyone else. God's laws forbid fighting, strife, or murder. Christ did condemn strife, fighting, killing, hating. I cannot personally participate in war or killing. I cannot bear arms or participate in war. Politics and war, even though the other nation may be in the wrong and the evildoer, are of the world. I object to killing because it is sin, the penalty of which is death. It is wrong because God condemns it. And I believe he condemns it because it only results in human suffering and misery and death. I believe no one ever wins a war. It is at most only a matter of which side is the heavier loser. I believe God's ways are always right." Now, that has been the position of first the Radio Church of God, as it was called, and then the Worldwide Church of God, until the death of Herbert Armstrong in 1986. But as we have seen the examples of the Paulicians and the Waldenses, a change took place in the Worldwide Church of God as well. And today, they preach it is totally all right to be a Christian and to fight in war. Now, they're not even called any longer the Worldwide Church of God. They are called now Grace Communion International. And in 1996, the following article was published, and this is what it says. The church has dropped its strict pacifist stance. Members may join military forces, and in the performance of the state's God-given duty, may use deadly force. The question, my friend, is whom do you believe? Human traditions, human conclusions, human ideas, human justifications of something God prohibits? Or do you believe God when he says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, who persecute you? When he says through Christ to Peter, put your sword away. Everyone who takes the sword will perish by the sword. If you want to know more about what the Bible has to say about fighting in war, please order our free booklet. It has a very interesting, very provocative question, should you fight in war? It goes into many different issues, including why Israel fought in war in Old Testament times, what Christ's statements are, what his commands are, what God's command is, what we as true Christians are supposed to be doing today. I think it will open your eyes if you have eyes to see. Please do yourself a favor and ask for, request our free booklet on fighting in war, and then make a decision based on God and the Bible, and not based on human ideas. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.